call to order the Education Subcommittee of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. This is Wednesday, May 7th, and today we will be having work session on parts of House Bill 5026. So I'll open the work session on House Bill 5026. And committee members, this kind of takes the committee into another phase here. This is the first work session that we have. And for the rest of this week and through next week, we have work sessions scheduled where we'll take up two of these other funded budgets each day. And you've got the schedule, I believe. If you don't, let us know. We'll get another one to you. But I would expect that the first couple that we go through, that they'll be process-oriented type questions. So if you have questions about how the process works, how the data is configured, what it is we're looking at, don't hesitate to ask, because we'll be seeing the same format as we progress through these other fund budgets. So with that, Mr. Olson, could you present LFO's preferred position here?
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee. Let me talk briefly about the process for just a moment. You see in front of you a few documents. One is a memo from the LFO analyst responsible for the particular agency, and we'll walk through that as we go through the work session. Behind that, you'll see a spreadsheet about four pages in this particular agency that actually takes us step by step through some of the recommendations and the numbers that we've arrived at. If there are questions, it may be this document that we will refer to get specific numbers and answers. And then finally, for this agency, both agencies today, you'll see that I've provided to you a copy of the cash flow analysis for 2001-03 so that we can address the ending balance issues. I know there's been a lot of questions regarding ending balances, and we want to give you some illustration of that for these agencies. So with that, we'll start with the Board of Naturopathic Examiners. This is Senate Bill 5026. Senate Bill 5026 actually contains the budget for several of these relatively small health-related licensing boards. And so today what we'll do is we'll walk through this and we'll come up with a recommended budget level for this particular agency. We'll ask the subcommittee to adopt that level that you decide on, but we will not pass the bill out to the full committee yet, because we have several boards that are in this bill. And so after we've gone through all these small boards that are in Senate Bill 5026, I'll come back, we'll review the budgets, and then ask you to pass the bill to the full committee. That will come sometime in the next 2 weeks. Board of Naturopathic Examiners, you'll see there first a table that shows some comparisons over the last couple of biennia and compared to what the number is that LFO is recommending. We'll walk down through those. The LFO recommended technical budget changes. These are adjustments that you'll see in all budgets as they come through. These are based upon co-chair decisions, some agreements with the governor. For instance, the salary freeze, you'll see for the merit increase salary freeze for this particular agency, the budget is reduced $5,364. Inflation is another adjustment you'll see in all budgets. Co-chairs have reduced inflation, the inflation factor, for most items that aren't fixed costs, and the adjustment, the inflation adjustment for this agency totals $2,530. And then the Attorney General rate has been established at a lower rate than what was in the governor's budget. So you'll see an adjustment for the Attorney General rate through all these budgets. That doesn't change the number of hours that the agency can use the Attorney General, just simply changes the rate. There will be other assessment adjustments that will be coming at a later date. Those budgets have not been worked yet and probably won't be until later in the session. Secretary of State, Audits Division, PERS adjustments. Those things will be coming later.
Technology assessment. There's a number of things that
there's several that will be coming later on. And what will most likely happen is that at the end of the session, we will have one omnibus bill that will have all those technical adjustments in it for each of the agencies. And then that will be brought to the Ways and Means Committee. So those are the technical, so-called technical adjustments to the budget. Policy packages, we'll go through each one of those and talk about the LFO recommendation. Policy package 181 increases board membership from 5 to 7. This package is dependent upon passage of Senate Bill 164. This policy package in the budget is associated with the expenses of two additional board members. The package totals a little over $6,000.
Excuse me, Representative Smith.
What is Senate Bill 164?
Senate Bill 164 is a policy bill that changes the composition of the Board of Naturopathic Medicine examiners from 5 members to the board to 7 members.
That's all it does. Okay.
That's all it does.
All right.
And so LFO is recommending that the subcommittee approve this package, but that DAS be requested to unschedule the funds pending passage of the bill. That way, if the bill passes, they will have the limitation needed. If the bill for some reason doesn't pass, then the limitation is unscheduled and the agency won't be able to use it for other things. Policy Package 182.
Does anybody have any more questions on Policy Package 181? Okay. Thank you.
Policy Package 182 increases other funds expenditure limitation by $1,130 for temporary employee services. This is to help the agency during peak workloads, renewal periods, those kinds of things. This is one, probably a preferred method of dealing with peak workloads rather than hiring permanent staff.
I agree.
And so LFO is recommending approval of this package as well.
Anybody have any questions or comments on the package or the recommendation? Please go ahead.
Okay, on to the next page. That is really it. Those are the recommendations. So LFO is recommending that the subcommittee approve the budget for the Board of Naturopathic Examiners in the amount of $330,704, 1.75 FTE, which is the same FTE level as in previous biennium. And you'll see the change to the bill that is there, the amendment that would be needed. Now, what the subcommittee needs to do, if they're in agreement with this, is move to approve the budget and modify the bill by that amount, so that we can then get the amendment from Legislative Council before the bill goes to full Ways and Means.
So, if I might, then the net result of the amendment is to take out the amount of the governor's recommended budget and insert the amount in the LFO recommended budget.
That's correct.
Now, can you take us through the spreadsheet information that accompanies this?
Sure. The first page actually is just a summary information from what's on the sheets following that. We start out with the legislatively adopted budget from 01-03, and then we build upon that to come to the governor's recommended budget, which is 310. That's not true. That's the legislatively adopted, and then it's built upon that. There's some administrative costs added into that, the $19,230, which are roll-up costs from merit increases and COLAs, PERS, flexible benefits, et cetera. Some of those increases, particularly the merit increases, will be backed out in a later package based on the salary freeze that I've talked about.
Representative Smith.
So the salary freeze does not affect COLAs, is that right?
Yeah, it does.
It does not affect COLAs that were given in 01, 03 that have already been.
So for the 03, 05 biennium, COLAs are part of the salary freeze in addition to merit increases?
That's correct.
So we would have not only merit increase freeze, but also a COLA freeze.
It's a total salary freeze.
Okay, I'm just probably mincing words here. I want to be clear.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's a total salary freeze at the rate that the individuals are at the end of 01-03.
Got it.
Okay. Madam Chair.
Representative Bates.
I know this is a very small budget, but it's illustrative and probably a good exercise for us to kind of go where we're going to be going with a lot of other budgets, so I appreciate you taking the time to do this.
And it's the process that I want people to be familiar with.
And some of the issues, so I think it's I appreciate that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Could I ask staff a couple of questions?
Absolutely.
Rick?
Yes.
What is the board's position on this budget? Do you know of any? Naturopaths Board, have they made any statements about how they feel about the merit and salary freezes?
Mm-hmm.
And have they made any statement about whether or not expansion of the board is appropriate? I assume that was their recommendation, and I'm assuming those things.
We have the director here, so why don't we ask questions?
Good morning. For the record, I'm Ann Walsh, Executive Director for the Board of Naturopathic Examiners. Senate Bill 164, which would increase board membership by one ND member and one public member, was the board's proposed bill. The board's actually initiated it. The number of licensees has increased almost double since 1998, although I don't expect it to continue at that rate. But with the increase in licensees and the number of people needing the public outreach, the board's time has just been, I'm taking more of their time than should be allotted. And so that's how mm-hmm. they determined to handle that, rather than trying to hire somebody in to work full time to do public outreach as a staff person. They want to do that themselves, but they just don't have the time. And so it is board approved. It's also been through the Senate committee and the House committee, and it's just now waiting for the governor's stamp, I believe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, I have a real question about freezing merit increases and freezing COLAs, especially with other funds budget. We're a revenue shortfall in the state, mm-hmm. but this board is not a revenue shortfall, and I have concerns about their ability to manage a very important program as far as quality and manage the care of patients. And I am not necessarily inclined to vote for this budget with the COLA and merit increases frozen for the next 2 years. But mm-hmm. I need to know that up front. And that's an issue that's going to be coming up on all our budgets as we go forward.
It is, Representative Bates, an issue that will apply to all the budgets.
I agree.
Not just general fund budgets. Right. So what are you saying here?
What I'm saying is I'm not inclined to vote for this budget at this moment in a positive fashion. You need to know that.
Thank you. Representative Smith.
I would just like to add something to Representative Bates. The subject of merit and COLA increases came from our Democrat governor. In his way to probably as fair as possible in trying to balance our budget. How can we in good faith limit our raises and so forth to one state employee and not do it to all of the others? I think that's why this has come about. Even though these are other funds, these people are still state employees.
And I understand that position, and I would offer that the problem facing the state is not a matter of more cuts. It's a matter of a revenue problem, and that's why I'm taking up that position this morning.
I'll only say, and then I'll just be quiet, some could say it's also a spending problem, too.
Okay.
I will counter your argument with that.
Madam Chair.
Senator Gordon.
Yeah, I join the good Representative Bates and the concern that he's expressed, and I'm not going to restate what he's expressed. I also want to commend the director here this morning for the work that you are doing with the Office of Multicultural Health, the partnership that you have formed in trying to add diversity to the board. We just recently had a conversation this week about your efforts, and I appreciate your follow-up with our office to find out how we could be of assistance to you. But again, with that said, I do share the concerns that have been expressed about the other funds and our approach to dealing with those. Thank you.
Senator Mazzarin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I too have concerns about the merit pays, but I think if we're going to start down that path, we need to very carefully identify the need to allow the merit pay in this coming biennium, because I think we're going to hear a lot of information from a lot of the budgets we have of why they should allow merit pay of their staff. I think we just need to be very careful. We're going to get caught. So I'm not sure I've seen enough justification in this budget yet of why they should not freeze their merit pay.
Okay. Well, perhaps we need to work this issue a little bit more. Can you talk to the committee at all about discussions that have taken place with the board in relation to the merit pay issue?
Representative Morgan, staff, members of the committee. Our board didn't really discuss it, number one, because we felt we didn't really have an option on it. It was pretty much mandated, and I understand the public image and perceiving state employees as getting away with doing things and getting more. I mean, it's just a public image thing that sometimes we as state employees get. And I would love to continue to get raises. I am at the highest range, pay range I can get, and so I don't anticipate any raises.
So this is not an issue in this budget, actually?
No, not for me. For my staff, it would be.
You have one staff.
I have one. So I think state employees work really, really hard. I've only been with the state for about 6 years, 7 years, but I just think that the ones that I've worked around and with spend a lot of hours, do a lot of work, do deserve to get those merit increases. But I understand that the state's in a situation where they need to look at how are they going to resolve their financial concerns, and I guess they perceive this as one of the ways to do it. I don't know if that really addresses your question.
The committee will stand at ease for just a minute.
It's a joke.
Stand at ease until Co-Chair Schrader can talk to me. So
okay. I just put a call in. Yes, Madam Chair. First, I want to apologize if I've in any way embarrassed you here today. I didn't mean to. This budget caught me off guard, and the issue involved was something that needs to be discussed much more deeply in our caucus. And we will do that.
Oh, one moment. I will reconvene okay. The Education Subcommittee.
I'm not going to repeat myself. Well, I could apologize twice, and I will. Did not mean in any way, shape, or form to embarrass you.
I appreciate that. Thank
and
you.
In the future, I will make an absolute error effort to discuss with you in advance anything in a bill that I'm concerned about. This just struck me as I was sitting here that it was a key issue that we're going to be talking about. It's a microcosm, but in bigger issues later on. Having discussed with the co-chair and my minority leader, we are more than willing to vote yes on this budget to keep the process going forward. And we will have that discussion in our caucus so that we can formulate policy on the bigger issues that come before us in the coming weeks.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Senator Gordley, did you have anything you
wanted? Madam Chair, I too am willing to move forward, but with the understanding that's just been relayed by the good representative.
Thank you. Thank you very
much.
We were working through the spreadsheet. Let's continue working through the spreadsheet so that people understand the format.
Okay. Moving on to page three. Again, these are some adjustments. Package 020 actually removes $2,000 from the budget that was placed in the 0103 budget for expendable property as a one-time expenditure. 030 package adds cost for inflation, but then again, because of the inflation adjustments that LFO is recommending, which you'll see further on down in this spreadsheet, we remove some of that inflation dollars. 090 is a program reduction package. This, again, just removes some expenditures that the governor's staff did not feel were necessary, and it's part of the governor's budget. And then we move down to the policy packages. Package 181, as we've already discussed, that is the amount for that package, the $6,066. Package 182, which increases temporary employee services, again, the governor is in the governor's budget. In the second column there, the LFO adjustment column, if you see nothing in there, then we are making no changes, recommending no changes to what the governor had in his budget. And going to page four, you'll see where the LFO adjustments are. Again, package 001, the personal service adjustment is the salary freeze dollars that we talked about a little while ago. 002, service and supplies adjustments, that's the inflation reduction, the attorney general rate, and the DAS assessment rate change, which brings us down to a total LFO adjustment of $10,605, bringing the total budget, you see there in the bottom in the shaded area under the LFO recommended budget, to $330,704.
Is there any discussion on the information in the spreadsheet or how the spreadsheet is organized? It is kind of confusing how things are in and then taken out, but we'll get used to that over time. The let's go ahead then and have the discussion on the performance measures and the vacancies and the ending balance.
Okay. Madam Chair, members of the committee, the performance measures were presented during the budget hearing. They can be found on page B5 of the Governor's Balanced Budget Binder. There were no, going back into the notes and record of the budget hearing, there were no discussions regarding the performance measures for this particular agency, and so LFO is recommending approval of the performance measures as submitted by the agency. Part of the budget process this session is to make have the subcommittee formally adopt performance measures, whether they're adopted as the agency presented or with some modification, but it is intended to have a motion to address the performance measures. And LFO is recommending that they be approved as submitted by the agency.
Is there any discussion in relation to the performance measures? Senator Gordy, did you have any discussion related to the performance measures?
I did not.
Thank you. Then let's go ahead and discuss the position vacancies.
There are no vacancies for this agency. You will be seeing for agencies that come before the subcommittee a review of position vacancies and recommendations from the Legislative Fiscal Office regarding which vacant positions can be removed. There are only two positions for the agency, the director and then a part-time staff, and so there are no vacancies.
Any questions on position vacancies? That's pretty straightforward.
Well,
pretty
Madam
complex.
Chair, I guess, Madam Chair, here it would just be the point would be to underscore what we've heard from staff, and that is that this agency has a workload, a huge workload issues, and they're stretched, and that would be the point.
Well, and I think it also is important to add there that they're going to deal with the issue by bringing on some part-time help during peak workloads, which I think is a great solution to the problem. Let's continue on to the ending balance issue.
Okay. Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, the ending balance in the governor's budget was $61,130. When you take into consideration the reductions that are recommended by LFO, the ending balance would actually be $71,735 for a 5.2 months worth of expenditures. The practice has been, the recommendation has been from LFO and from DAS that agencies have a 3 to 6 month ending balance. Sometimes you'll see agencies with a slightly higher ending balance than that. That's the general rule of thumb. If we have an agency that has a 15 or 18 or 20 month ending balance, then we would probably be concerned about the high ending balance. But that's not the case.
So maintaining the $71,000 ending balance allows that ending, even during the lowest point of the cash flow period, they will still be within that prudent ending balance. And that's what the spreadsheet shows.
That's correct.
Are there any discussions around the ending balance?
Madam Chair.
Senator Measurely.
Just for clarification, does that assume the passage of Senate Bill 164?
Madam Chair, Senator Messerly, yes, it does. That takes into consideration the expenditures that that bill would add to the agency.
Follow up. Chair, that increasing the size of the board would eventually reduce that pending balance, wouldn't it?
Madam Chair, Senator Messerly, it could, but most likely will not, because the number of licensees continues to increase, so that will continue to add to the revenue.
Okay.
Any questions, further questions at all on this budget? The Chair would accept. Well, I have one process question. We have a recommendation to unschedule the other funds limitation on policy package 181 pending the passage of Senate Bill 164. Does that have to be done in a motion, or would that be included in the motion to approve the budget?
Madam Chair, that would be included in the motion to approve the budget. That recommendation to unschedule, or the request to DAS to unschedule, would be made as just as a notation in the budget report.
Okay.
And by approving the budget as LFO recommended, that would be part of the approval.
Thank you. The Chair will accept a motion to approve the budget of the Board of Naturopathic Examiners as modified and amended on line 20 of House Bill 5026 to $330,704.
So moved.
Thank you. Senator Gordley has moved. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Senator Gordley?
Aye.
Senator Messerly?
Aye.
Representative Bates?
Yes. Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Chair Morgan?
Aye. Motion is carried. Chair will now accept a motion to approve the performance measures as submitted.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Senator Gordley has so moved. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Senator Gordley?
Aye.
Senator Messerly?
Aye.
Representative Bates?
Aye.
Representative Judy Smith?
Aye.
Chair Morgan?
Aye. And that concludes the budget of the Board of Naturopathic Examiners. Mr. Olson, would you please take us through the Occupational Therapy Licensing Board?
Yes, Madam Chair. Again, this board is similar to the one that you just reviewed. You do have at your places another packet of materials similar to the ones that we just went through. We'll go through those, starting with the memo, technical adjustments to the budget. Because the staff of this board are currently at the top step, and there would be no merit increases available to them, there are no salary adjustments for this particular budget. So you don't see any of those here. You do see inflation adjustments of $1,371. Attorney general rate reduction resulted in an $805 reduction in the assessment. And again, the other assessment adjustments will be coming later on.
Any questions on the technical changes to the budget? Please proceed.
Okay, we will go through the policy package. Package 201 changes the renewal process to a biennial system. Again, this is dependent upon passage of House Bill 2245, which has passed both chambers and is on the way to the governor and is anticipated to be signed there. This package, if I might, I will refer you to page 3 of the spreadsheets that accompany this, down halfway down, package 201. This package actually reduces the budget by $2,684. This is savings that changing to a biennial system will recognize by reduced clerical and administrative workload. So this is a positive thing. It's good to see an agency come forward with a package that reduces the budget instead of increases. So that's what this does. Policy,
are there any questions on policy package 201 or any objections to the LFO recommendation? Please proceed.
Okay. Policy package 202 is in response to an increased number of complaints and investigations and disciplinary actions. The governor's budget has $18,000. LFO has reduced that by $1,010 because of the reduction in the attorney general rate only, which brings the package to $16,990. LFO is recommending that you approve the package for that modified amount, but again request the Department of Administrative Services unschedule that amount until which time the board has experienced enough complaints and investigations and the need for additional hearings or additional attorney general. If the board experiences that, then the money's there. DAS can reschedule it, and they'll have that money to spend, or the limitation. If for whatever reason the complaints don't come in, the investigations aren't as much as what they think they may be, they won't need that limitation, and so it wouldn't be used for anything else.
Question?
Excuse me. One follow-up. And in talking with the executive director yesterday about that, the board is okay with that recommendation.
Questions or comments on policy package 202 or the LFO recommendation or objections to the LFO recommendation? Please proceed.
Policy package 204 was to increase out-of-state travel for one board member or the executive director to attend a national conference. LFO is recommending that this package not be approved because of the economic conditions and the status of the state budget. Even though these are other funds, they still come from citizens of the state, and out-of-state travel statewide is being reduced and held back. There is approximately $2,300 in out-of-state travel in the base budget. So this would still allow the board member or the executive director to attend a national conference. This package would have just increased that to one additional conference for one additional person. So, again, we're recommending that this package not be approved.
Questions or comments, Madam Chair? Representative Bates.
No.
Oh, Senator Gordley.
Okay. Just a couple of questions. Is there absolutely no state travel taking place with the freeze on travel? Is that our understanding?
Madam Chair, Senator Gordley, I think for the time being, out-of-state travel has been suspended, with some exceptions, and I think that's done on a case-by-case basis when an agency can make a case, I believe, to the Department of Administrative Services for approval.
And that's relative to the 0103 budget, so?
That's correct.
Okay. And then also, just a little bit more information on what is this conference and how much would it cost? What would be gained by attending? What would be lost by not attending?
If we could have the director come forward, please.
For the record, I'm Peggy Smith. I'm the executive director of the OT Licensing Board. Madam
Chair. Could you possibly pull the microphone closer to you?
Thank you. Is that better?
Yes.
Madam Chair and Senator Gordley, there are a couple of conferences that that the board is interested in attending. To date, none of the board members have attended a CLEAR conference, and the CLEAR is Council on Licensure and Enforcement. It's a federal regulatory body that meets annually. I attended parts of it when it was in Portland, and it was very helpful to see what some of the issues are in other disciplines. Again, this board has not attended that. There is an annual conference that is held by a national certification board where states are invited to attend and discuss issues that are going on in other states. One of the things that is being discussed right now and worked on are updating the exam that's given to persons before they get a license. And another hot issue is continuing education versus competence versus portfolios. Other states, we are working with that. Other states are working with it, and it gives us a chance to meet and share some of our best ideas. The current budget and the proposed budget funds one person attending one conference during the two-year period of time.
Thank you. Clarification? So the $2,300 that's in your base budget, what are you going to do with that?
Madam Chair, it is the board's intent to attend. Either we will wait until we get the agenda of the CLEAR conference and get the agenda of the regulatory conference and see which of those presents the material that's more relevant to the board. It is out of state. And it was my understanding that if the out-of-state is in your out-of-state travel is in your budget, if you're an other funded agency, we would be able to use that. And I would certainly have to check with someone in DAS to affirm that.
So if the decision is made to attend the conference, how many people will attend for the $2,300?
Madam Chair, that would fund one person's attendance with maybe about $400 or $500 left over.
So is the intention for the whole board to attend?
Madam Chair, it would be for either two conferences, one person per conference, or some of these conferences have overlapping sessions where perhaps two persons would go to one conference. It would fund two people going to two conferences, whether it's the same conference or different conferences.
Okay, so it funds four slots, and how you choose to allot them, it hasn't been decided yet. Am I getting the picture here?
Madam Chair, I think it would fund two slots, two persons, whether they went to the same conference or two different people went to two different conferences. Am I not clear?
No, I understand.
Madam Chair, I think it's enough for two attendees to attend a conference.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but I heard you say that the cost is approximately $400 per individual.
I would like to correct that. I think the funding in the budget would fund one conference, one person attending one conference, and there would be about $400 or $500 left over of the approved amount for out-of-state travel in the budget.
So out of $2,300, after you sent one person to one conference, there would be $300 left over?
Approximately that.
So it costs $2,000 to send one person to one conference?
Madam Chair, that includes the transportation, the registration, travel, motel accommodations.
How long are these conferences?
Usually they will involve about 3 nights stay.
Okay.
I have another question.
Thank you,
Madam Chair. I would be interested in seeing the DAS guidelines that apply to out-of-state travel, and specifically what guidelines are being used to for exceptions. Yeah, I'd kind of like to look at who's traveling where and how much it's costing. At a time when we've, I think the impression that the public may have is that there's no out-of-state travel taking place, except for the trips that we know the governor is taking that are related to economic opportunities. So if there's something else going on by way of exception, let's understand what that is.
Mr. Olson, does the out-of-state travel ban that's in place right now continue into the 0305 biennium?
Madam Chair, I'm not sure whether it does or not. I don't know if our BAM analyst has any more information on what's going on with out-of-state travel currently or not.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Adam Torgerson with the Budget Management Division. I believe the current regulations, I'm not sure about 0305, and I'll double-check and get that back to the committee. I believe the current way it stands now with the freeze is that out-of-state travel is frozen for all general and lottery-funded agencies, and I believe there's a process for an exception. I think it has to go to Mr. Weeks, the Director of Department of Administrative Services, I believe. I don't believe it's frozen for the other funded agencies for board-related travel, directly related to a board like a licensing board that's not general or lottery-funded, but I'll certainly double-check and verify that.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, we'll try to find some of those answers out and have them back to the committee tomorrow morning when we come back for the work session.
Thank you. You had questions, Representative.
Madam Chair, I did, but frankly, you asked the same question that I was going to ask as we got the answers. It's just a question of consistency, and it's a little different because of the funds, but it's still some questions of consistency here. Like the, we're going to hammer these things out right now so we don't want to look at the other budgets. I think they're good questions.
Yeah.
And I would like to know what the out-of-state travel situation really is. I think that's a very good question. So we know we're looking at these budgets. Is there money embedded in that we don't know about? For out-of-state travel or not. I'm not as concerned, admittedly, about other funds, but I'm very concerned about general funds and lottery funds.
Mm-hmm.
So that's information we need.
Okay. Let's see here. Let's move through and discuss the other issues. What I'd like to do then is hold off on actually moving this budget until we get this issue cleared up, but it's my intention to move it tomorrow. And we should also recognize that these budgets aren't actually going anywhere. They're just going on the shelf to be part of a larger budget. So we could actually deal with the issue when we brought the larger budget back.
Right.
Let's go on and talk about the motion to approve the budget. Basically, what we're doing there is just pulling out the governor's recommended amount and putting in the LFO recommended amount.
Madam Chair, that's correct. Again, that includes the recommendation to not approve Package 204, which is the out-of-state travel issue. So
this motion is contingent on the issue above.
Yes, and again, if it's the committee's desire to wait, and we can make that motion tomorrow after we get the answers to these questions,
I think we should. I want to go there. So let's wait until we get the answers on the policy for 0305 out-of-state travel and discuss that as part of the issue. Let's go ahead and talk about, then, the performance measures.
Okay. Madam Chair and members of the subcommittee, there were no lengthy discussions regarding performance measures. I think the subcommittee, when they reviewed these during the budget hearing, felt they were okay. Again, they're on page B11 of the governor's balanced budget binder. And because there was no major concerns on these measures, LFO is recommending approval of the performance measures as submitted by the agency. These have been reviewed by the Performance Measure Review Committee and approved by that committee as well.
Any questions or comments on performance measures? Objection to the LFO recommendation? Okay. The position vacancies. I think this is pretty straightforward.
This is straightforward. Again, there are no vacancies in this agency, and so there's not much to review.
Any discussion on vacancies? Let's go ahead and talk about the NDA.
I can promise you that this will not be the case in many of the budgets that you have coming before you. There will be some discussion there. The ending balance in the 2003-05 governor's balanced budget was $166,533. And again, when you take into consideration the recommendation of LFO and the reductions there, the ending balance would be $171,761, which is 16.2 months worth of expenditures. Now, this is a situation that we had mentioned before where you have to look at the entire cash flow throughout the biennium. This board currently licenses or receives the renewal fees in April and May, so you see high amounts of revenue coming in during these months, which makes it appear the ending balance at the end of June is high. But then they spend those revenues throughout the entire year, and come February and March, their ending balance isn't that high. That, in conjunction with the intent to change to a biennial renewal system, requires that this board carry a little higher ending balance during the next biennium as they make that transition, just to be sure that they have adequate resources available. LFO is recommending that the committee go along with this ending balance, and then during the next legislative session and once the biennial licensing renewal system is in place, we will take a closer look at the cash flow and the ending balance and see if there's an adjustment that needs to be made.
Senator Masary?
Thank you, Madam Chair. It seems to me to be more meaningful and clear document of the data if we could also in the report predict what their low point ending balance
is. There's a spreadsheet in your packet.
Okay, but if we could put that in the report.
Okay. 127.
Madam Chair, along that same, I have exactly the same situation. We're going to be seeing a lot of budgets that are biannual budgets.
Mm-hmm.
See a big chunk of money come in and it tapers out over the next 2 years. Might see what it's going to look like at the end of that 2 years if you can predict that for us.
Good point. I think that, you know, it is interesting to note that in February, before their annual renewals start coming in, that they're almost $50,000 below their reserve level. So this is going to be interesting to watch as it actually unfolds. Any other issues related to cash flow, Representative March?
My understanding, this is they're just instituting a new biennial budget. So, or biennial license, so there might be some potential cash flow issues with that?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes. And, Madam Chair, Representative Marsh, that's why LFO is okay with seeing a few months more ending balance here than what we would typically like to see, just for that reason, the uncertainty that they're changing to the different renewal system.
Further questions or comments? Senator Gordley, you look like you might need to ask a question. Okay. What I'm going to do then is hold off on the motions to this pending the information that we're looking to receive on the out-of-state travel issue, and we will take this budget up first thing when the committee reconvenes tomorrow morning. I will close the work session on House Bill 5226. Mr. Olson, would you like to tell the committee what we're going to be up to tomorrow?
Yes, Madam Chair. We will be doing this same work session on two additional budgets tomorrow, the budget of clinical social workers and the budget for the counselors and therapists boards. But we'll bring this one back first in the morning.
Okay.
To finalize the work on this budget.
And having no further business before the committee, this meeting is adjourned. We'll reconvene at 8:30 tomorrow morning.